Friends, we are here tonight to remember. To remember what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. It was a year ago at this Good Friday service that we asked the question, why did Jesus have to die? And tonight I want to pose to us another question. Why does the cross of Jesus Christ make a difference? Think about it. Every year Easter comes along, and we talk about the cross, and we talk about that Jesus died for our sins. But somehow that has to connect to you and to me and to our daily lives and make a difference. And I'd ask you even here this evening, is that making a difference in your life today? To engage us a little deeper, I'm going to take us on a little journey through a story that's going to take us back in time, not just 2,000 years, but the story is going to take us back in time roughly 3,500 years. At this time, there was a people chosen by God, the Israelites, who were enslaved in captivity in the land of Egypt. It was brutal, harsh conditions. And it was at this time that God raised up a man by the name of Moses who would lead God's people out of captivity. Now, Moses wasn't a particularly impressive and polished man. In fact, he would say of himself that he wasn't a great speaker. But God said to him, you're the man for this job. And as is recorded in the book of Exodus in chapter 6, God said this to Moses. He said, I am the Lord. I have made a covenant with your forefathers. I have seen the suffering of your people, the Israelites, and I have remembered my covenant. Remember that word covenant. It's an important word. It means an unbreakable promise. It means that God will do it. And God goes on to tell Moses exactly what he is going to do. He first says to Moses, I will bring you out from under the tyranny of the Egyptians. I will bring all of you, the Israelites, out. He secondly said, I will free you. You will no longer be slaves, but I am going to set you free. What a wonderful promise to those who had known slavery for years. He then told Moses, I will redeem you. This word redeem means to pay the price, to even avenge or revenge. Whatever has been wrong, I will make right, God said. And then he said to Moses, I will take you as my own. You will no longer be foreigners in a distant land. You will be my people and you will be near to me. Sure enough, through God's power and through the faithfulness of Moses, God set the Israelites free. Many plagues came upon the land, including the final one, where God said that he was going to wipe out all the firstborn of the land unless the blood of the lamb was smeared upon the doorframe of the household. Pharaoh, who was enslaving the Israelites himself, lost his firstborn son. And God moved him to say that the Israelites could go free. And as Jewish tradition would have it, that following year on that anniversary was the first time that the Jewish people celebrated the Passover meal. A meal, to be honest, that has been celebrated annually for the last roughly 3,500 years. At that Passover meal, there is matzah bread, there are bitter herbs, horseradish, wine, and there's a ceremony to it to remember what God did to set his people free. Now, you may not know this, because our tradition gets hung up a little bit in a holy grail or one cup But in the Passover Seder, there are actually four cups. Four cups of wine that are drunk during that meal. And as you might guess, they each represent the four I wills that God made to Moses in the book of Exodus. One cup to remember that he will bring you out. One cup to remember that he will free you. One cup to remember that he will redeem you. And another cup to remember that he will take you as his own. When we see this, the Last Supper starts to make a lot more sense. Where'd you go to dinner last night? I had dinner at home. There was a Thursday night before a Good Friday, though. We're huddled in an upstairs room. Was Jesus and his disciples gathered together for not just any last meal before he would go to the cross, but a Passover meal that would be celebrated the way it had been celebrated for hundreds of years, but in this way for a new and enriched time. Because it was during that meal that Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you." And though they probably didn't get that on that time, he invited them to take the bread and to eat it. And Scripture tells us, you can see this in Matthew 26, says that Jesus took a cup. And he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Remember that word, covenant? An unbreakable promise. The "I will do it." Jesus said this. This is the new promise. It's going to be in my blood. And then he says, "For the forgiveness of the sins of many." It was then and there that Jesus hearkened back to 1,500 years of remembering. And a group of disciples sat there, no idea what was going to happen the next day, not completely understanding the idea of this cup and the blood that Jesus spoke of, but he invited them to drink. The next day, Jesus was arrested. He was taken to the cross. His disciples disappeared. Not forever. And it was on that cross, though, that Jesus bled and died, as he said, for the forgiveness of sins. When I think about that, and what it means that Jesus died for our sins, I think of these promises of God. Jesus died for your sins to bring you out from under the weight of those sins. Scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death, and the sins that we commit before God, anything that falls short of his glory and his perfection, well, there's consequence, there's weight, there's guilt, there's shame. But he brings us out and offers forgiveness. He will free us. Scripture says, Paul wrote, "Whoever sins is a slave to sin." Similarly, whoever drinks from the blood of Jesus Christ is no longer a slave to sin. You've been set free. Someone once asked me, what's the difference with sinning before you know Jesus and sinning when you know Jesus? And there's a big difference. Before you know Christ, your sin makes you a prisoner. You're shackled against the walls. You cannot get out. The door is locked. When you come to Jesus Christ, his blood washes over you and cleanses you from sin. The chains are broken. The door is swung open and you are free to go. And you know what sin is as a Christian? It's hanging out in the jail cell that has a wide open door. It's a case of mistaken identity. You don't know that you're free. And you're choosing to go hang out in your jail cell. That's what sin is as a Christian. It's running back to that dank, dark place that was true of our imprisonment before we knew Jesus Christ. But if you're a believer in Him today, the cross has set you free. You don't need to live in a prison anymore. When you come to Jesus Christ, when you put your faith in Him, He redeems you. On the cross, He paid that price. And because He's redeemed you, you don't need to work harder for it. You don't need to make it up to Him except to simply love Him back. In fact, in the book of Exodus, when it talks about redeeming the Israelites from the Egyptians, it basically also has this connotation that God is going to do some fierce things to make it right. Interesting thing about sin in our world is we don't just struggle with the problem that we're sinners, we've also been sinned against. We've been marred by the sin of others, the mistakes of people in our lives. And I firmly believe that the cross of Christ means that redemption not just comes from our own sins, but God can redeem the sins that you've experienced at the hands of others. Does it make a difference in your life this evening? The blood of Jesus means that He takes you as His own. No longer a slave, no longer an alien or a stranger, but His child. A friend. You know, we can talk about the cross of Christ and that He died to set us free. But when you think about these specific aspects of it, some things might start to get a little more challenging and personal. Maybe there's a weight of sin that you still carry with you. Maybe you haven't been set free and you're in slavery to sin. Maybe you have been set free and you live like you haven't. Or there's that one nagging thing that continues just to weigh you down and tell you that you don't deserve it, what Christ has given you. Maybe there's sins of the past that seem to sins of others that still take its toll. Or maybe you're a little distant from God. Not in all ways. You'll come to church, but when it comes to surrender and saying, God, this is me, take me, maybe there's some hesitation. Well, if you resonate with any of those, I would just point you to the garden. Because before Jesus went to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, He got alone a little bit and He prayed and He was honest with God. And you know what He told God? He said, God, if there's any other way, take this cup away from me. You ever prayed that honest prayer with God? God, if there's any way, take this cup away from me. I don't want to go there. I don't want to have that conversation. I don't want to deal with the loss and the pain of what I'm going through. God, take this cup away. And I love what Jesus said next. He said, but not my will, but yours be done. He concluded by saying, if there is no other way, than for me to drink this cup, then your will be done, Father. And Jesus was obedient to death, even death on a cross. He died for your sins, to bring you out from under them, to set you free from the slavery they put us in, to redeem you from the penalty and pain and to take you as his own. This evening, we're going to take communion. And as you come to communion, I invite you to remember what God has done for you. And remember that when you eat the bread and when you drink this cup, you proclaim the death of Jesus Christ until he comes again. And not only do you proclaim it, you identify with it. You understand that that bread, that body, his body was broken for you. His blood was poured out for you. So if you have Christ in your life, I invite you right now, come. Come to the table. Take the bread. Take the cup. And drink of what he's done for you. Let's pray together. Father God, your promises are sure. And what you say you will do, Father God. And I know right now there are people in this room that proclaim your name and talk your name, but we are hung up, Father God. There are sins hiding in our closet. There are things that are still in the dark that need to be brought into the light, Father God. And I pray that during this time, you would bring those to the light as we confess them before you. God, there are tensions in relationship that need to be reconciled. And I pray right now that you would help people to let go of pains, of hurts, to seek forgiveness, to say I'm sorry, to call others out where necessary, Father God. And we pray as well that as you bring healing to our lives, to our body, Father God, we would remember that you did all of this to set us free. You went to the cross. You endured the shame. You didn't want to do it, but you were willing to be obedient to the Father. And because of that, he gave you the name above every other name. So, Lord, we worship you now as we eat of this bread and we take of this cup. We pray this in your name. Amen. Come receive communion.